to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, where living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Join us now while Pastor Carter Dean Harris brings us a word from our Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. Our Father this morning, who art in heaven, hallowed be your holy name. Thy kingdom come this morning, God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us, O Lord, our trespasses. Father, as we forgive those who trespass, who have sinned, who have come against us. And we ask you to lead us not into temptation, O God, but deliver us from all things that are sin and evil. Why? Because thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, God, we pray these things this morning. This morning, God, we thank you for another celebration of fathers, but we thank you more so for the celebration of you, Father. Thank you for being the father to the fatherless. Thank you for being a mother to the motherless. Thank you for being he who has kept us, who teaches us, who guides us, who shows our fathers how to be just that, to be fathers, unequivocally, biblically, sound, in your word, of your word, and by your word. Create in us, in all of our fathers, clean hearts, and renew right spirits within, O God. Keep them as they raise up their children, in the admonition of the Lord. Cover them as they teach their children your ways, God, as they sit and they talk with them, O God, about who you are and how they should be. And we thank you this morning for the idea of the father, the leader of the family. O God, we thank you. And we give you glory this morning, God, for every father everywhere right now, Father. We thank you this morning, God. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. And we thank you for your people who have gathered in the spirit to worship you this morning, in spirit and in truth. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. We say amen. We say amen. And we say amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Good morning, people of God. We bless the Lord, O our soul, and all that is within us. We worship our God this morning. And we thank God so much this morning for all that he's doing and all that he's done. Thank you, Lord. This morning, we want to say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers everywhere. We want to say happy Father's Day to our husband and father of all of our children. Happy Father's Day to our elder, William Bill Harris. We say happy Father's Day to you. We say happy Father's Day this morning to our pastor, Pastor Paul L. Taylor. We say happy Father's Day this morning to all of our brothers. Amen. This morning. We say happy Father's Day this morning to all of our uncles, our sons, our nephews, and we're not going to get in trouble by calling their names and missing somebody this morning, but happy Father's Day. You know that you're in our hearts and that we love you and we appreciate God for you. We say happy Father's Day to those who will become fathers, and we ask that you begin now to understand what it means to be a father. And if you follow God, you follow his example, you get it right, no matter how young you are or how old you get. If you follow God the Father, you'll be able to raise your children and be able to be proud of the product that they become. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a praise this morning for our fathers everywhere. We just glorify God. Amen. Last week, we talked about seeking release. We're not going to prolong or hesitate this morning. Last week, we talked about seeking release. And that was part one last week. And God led us to break that thing up a little bit. Last week was, thank you, Lord, seeking release. And we said, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Those things of old, let it go. Those things that were hindering you, let it go. Those things that had you bound, even in your mind, let it go. I tell you, seeking release, let it go. And this week, we're going to talk about seeking release part two. But guess what? This week, it's gone. At this time, it's gone. We've already talked about how to let it go. We've already talked about how to get rid of it. We've already talked about putting it at the Father's feet and leaving it there. We've already talked about leaving that baggage, pack it up, leave it on the curb somewhere and take off. We've talked about that. We've talked about letting it go. So now we've got to understand that it's gone. Don't go back and get it. Don't dig back through the trash. Seek the release now. Guess what? It's gone this morning. We're looking at several portions of scripture within Philippians. We're going to look at one scripture in Proverbs, and we're going to look at a few scriptures in Romans 8. And I implore you to go back and read and study Romans 8 in its entirety, because there's a whole lot there. And we know that we're dealing with Paul this morning in these scriptures. And Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." That 14th verse says, and one of my favorite scriptures, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Proverbs 18 and 21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Let me read that one again. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Amen. We're not going to read through the scriptures in Romans 8 at this time, but we are going to reflect on those at some point. But we want to look at, it's gone. Paul at this time, when he wrote Philippians, was imprisoned. And one of the things as he wrote to the people of Philippi, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Apprehended? He's not counting himself incarcerated, even though he's been jailed. He says, "I count not myself to have apprehended," to be locked up. Okay? When we are imprisoned, we seem to be bound by the things of the prison. We seem to be caught up in the things that keep us from being able to move to and fro to do that which we need to do. Amen? But Paul says here, clearly, "I count not myself to have apprehended, my God." Thank you, Lord. He says, "But this one thing I do." He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He says, "I count not myself apprehended or to have apprehended." And I'm just going to talk about that word apprehended for just a moment so that we get a clear understanding. I think that sometimes we've read that scripture and we just keep going right on past that word. What is he really saying here? To be apprehended means to be arrested for some crime. To be apprehended means there's a warrant that's been put out on you and they've got you. To be apprehended means that sometimes you don't understand, that you understand or perceive a certain way. But Paul says, I'm understanding and I'm not perceiving that I am locked up. Amen. He says, but this one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget the things that are behind. I'm going to forget the things, come on, God, that caused me to be locked up. I'm going to forget the things that got me in the position I'm in right now. How many of us are able to do that? How many of us in the process of seeking our release, you see? Paul wasn't worrying about being released at that time, but what he was doing was going forth with the work that had to be done. How many of us, when we are apprehended, or we are locked up, or we are bound to a certain place or time in our life, that we are unable to continue to function? He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this is what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to press. I'm going to forget the things which are behind. I'm not even going to worry about where I am right now. I'm looking ahead. See, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forth into the things which are before me. He says, I'm going to forget those things that got me into this jam that I'm in. How many of us are able to move forward, amen, and understand that whatever had us bound, whatever got us caught up, guess what? It's gone. Put it behind you. It's gone now. You said last week, or we said last week, that we were releasing, we were letting it go. So now we have to understand the situation that Paul is in at this time. He has let it go. He is moving forward. We've got to release, let it go, and understand once it's gone, somebody out there type in and tell me, it's gone. That thing that had you messed up, you need to believe this morning that it's gone. That thing that had you so caught up in hate for your brother or sister, you have to believe this morning that it's gone. I don't care how wrong they did you. It's got to be gone. Because if you keep holding on to it, then you will count yourself apprehended. You will count yourself still jailed by that very thought, that idea. Come on, God. Paul says, whatever got me where I am right now, it's gone. It's already happened. But guess what? I'm releasing it. I'm forgetting that thing that was behind me. And I'm going forward. And we've got to be able to go forward this morning. We've got to understand that we can't go forward if we take that baggage with us. It's gone. You dropped it off on the curb. You packed it up. You put it in the garbage. You let it go. So stop looking for it. It's gone. Come on, God. See, Proverbs 18 and 21 takes us here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death. You can speak death, or you can speak life. I shall have what I decree, because I believe it belongs to me. So I'm going to speak it to the atmosphere. Speak it to the atmosphere. But remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you speak death, if you speak negativity, you're speaking that thing into the atmosphere, and that thing is going to mess around and manifest, you see. But if you speak life, that death and life, it says death, it didn't say death or life, but death and life are in the power of the tongue. So instead of speaking death, that thing that's already dead, that thing that you already released, speak life and understand that that thing is gone. Speak now as if it already has been gone. Speak now to the atmosphere life. Speak goodness. Speak, I don't hate you anymore. I love you. I've forgiven you. You got to speak. You got to go forward. Paul says, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm going higher than this. I am better than this. I can move on from this. Is anybody getting this morning? Stop letting the things that you already released come back into your life. It's gone. Or even attempt to, because they're going to try to come back. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love death, that's what you're going to eat of. I love life. I need somebody to love life this morning. Come on and love life with me this morning. Somebody tell me you love life this morning. Do you love life? Do you love? Are you content with where God has you? Can you be content with what God is doing? Even though there are some things awry, some things amok, can you still look at God, understand God, believe God, believe in God, trust God, come on, and say it's gone? Those things that had me apprehended, I'm like Paul, I count not myself apprehended. I won't be locked down. I won't be in chains. No more chains holding me. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. Death and life in the power of the tongue. I am victorious. I listened to my cousin Barbara Green McCoy sing a song yesterday, and I played it all day with Savannah Community Choir. He lives. He lives. He lives in me. If God is dead, what makes the flowers bloom? You've got to speak life. You've got to understand that God is yet alive and that you can live in and through him. Let it go. It's gone. Life through the Spirit comes, my God, through our speaking it. We've got to speak that we believe that Jesus Christ died, was raised from the grave. Come on, God. And then he did leave the Holy Spirit with us. Life can come to us through the Spirit, but speaking it to the atmosphere. Tell the devil he is a liar. Amen. Let's look at Romans 8 for just a moment. Romans 8, the first through the fourth verses. Thank you, God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, listen carefully, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, come on, weak flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness, he said, of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We've got to live in the Spirit this morning. We've got to find life through the Spirit. And when we find life through the Spirit, then the things of the flesh, those things that we released, those things that are gone, they can't return. When we find life through the Spirit and understand that Christ has already died so we can be released from those things of the flesh, why are we refighting this battle that's already won? Why are we going back and forth with the devil, with the enemy, with the things that he brings? Why are we allowing him to keep bringing stuff up? Come on, that we already know has been released. We've let it go. It's gone. So when the enemy tries to come, look at him in the face and say, not that. It's gone. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Let me say that again. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. If you live according to the flesh, you have your mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Just marinate on that for a moment. Read through it for yourselves. And that sixth verse goes on to say, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. That's the seventh verse. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. My God, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Let's look at that seventh verse one more time. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile. Do you hear that? The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. When you allow your flesh to lead, you are hostile to God. When you want to follow your flesh, that means you want nothing to do with God. Oh, Lord Jesus. The mind governed by the flesh, thank you, Lord, is hostile to God. What do you mean hostile? You're unfriendly to God. My Lord. You don't want to belong with God or to God. When you're governed by the flesh, you want to be just what you are, governed by the flesh. You want to live in death. You've got to speak to that thing and say, hey, you're gone from here. You don't belong here. You have to leave from here. Speak it to the atmosphere. Speak it to your mind. I keep telling you, here we go again, that mind is the battlefield for spiritual warfare. Our mind is the battlefield for spiritual warfare. You've got to remember that, people of God. Your mind, that's where it begins. The thought creeps in, and if you act on it and allow your flesh to be manifested with it, then you become hostile to God. Because it says the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When that thing creeps into your mind, God, you got to pray that, even just that portion of the prayer. God, lead me not into temptation. Because we're tempted in the mind, you see. We're tempted to tell people off. We're tempted to do things that we know are not of God. We're tempted to pick up things that don't belong to us. We're tempted to lie. Some of us open our mouths. That was last week at Pastor. But it's still going on. Open our mouths and lies just come out. You knew it was a lie before you allowed it to come out. But out of the mouth, guess what? The word says the heart speaks. And sometimes that thing enters our minds, manifests in our heart, in our spirit, and then we allow it to come out. And then we can't take it back because we've now spoken into the atmosphere, and we speak death. When we lie, we speak death. We speak death towards that person that we're lying on or that situation that we're lying about. We speak death. When we lie, we speak death within ourselves. God hates liars. Yes, he does. I hate liars. Word of God tells me to love the things that God loves, to hate the things that God hates. But I have compassion, as God has compassion on those, oh God. He says, I'll rain on the just as well as the unjust. I'll reach out. If you lift me up before them, I'll draw them to me. And so the liar I used to be, I won't be anymore. Come on, God. Change my heart this morning, Lord. Life through the Spirit causes us to be able to live and live life more abundantly. Romans 8:26 says this. It reminds us of this thing, that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So when we know we're stuck in those lies, stay right there, Elder. When we know, stay right there. When we are lost in the, when we are stuck in lying or cheating or deceiving or fornication or lust of anything that we're following that flesh in, let me just remind you. I was going to stay right there, but let me remind you of what that seventh verse says. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. But the Holy Spirit, you see, helps us in our weakness. When we are governed by the flesh, we are weak. But this scripture says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. How about asking the Holy Spirit to pray for you? How about asking the Holy Spirit to help you? Thank you, Lord. How about asking the Holy Spirit to come upon you? See, when we talk to God, when we pray to God, and we can sometimes pray in the spirit, but we need to pray in the word, and we need to understand that when we are weak, when our flesh is giving in to going back, when our flesh forgets that it's already gone, that our spirit man needs to be strengthened, you see. And our spirit man is strengthened through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we get confused about it, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself, it says, intercedes for us through wordless groans. We should be at a place now, like Paul, where we can say, I'm not apprehended. It's gone. I have put those things behind me. Somebody, come on. It's gone. When what I was seeking release from seems to be creeping back up in my spirit, you need to say, it's gone. You need to be able to look the enemy in his face and say, it's gone. When what I needed God to bring me out of, he's already brought me out of, he's already brought me through, but for some reason I'm trying to be apprehended. Paul said, I count not myself apprehended. I'm trying to be apprehended. I'm trying to be retained. I'm trying to be reincarcerated by the same sin, the same thing that God has brought me out of. I need to, oh my God, resist the devil and cause him to flee. And I need to look at myself sometimes in the mirror and say, it's gone. Sometimes we got to face the enemy within ourselves. It's gone. Why am I allowing this thing that I've already been through, that I've already gotten past, to come up and mess up my current relationship? Mess up my current job. Mess me up in my present endeavor. There you go. Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the plans I have for you, daughter. They're not plans to harm you, but plans of hope and a future. Stop allowing the things that have already been released. We let it go. Remember, we let it go last week. We let it go. It's already gone. Stop letting it cause you to be hindered by what God wants to do now. It's gone. My Lord, we have to pray to God to speak on our behalf. I asked God, I said, Father, I need you to pray for me. Son, I need you to pray for me. Holy Spirit, I need you to pray for me. Sometimes I don't know how to pray for myself. Sometimes I get weak in my spirit. Sometimes my spirit is inundated with so many things and so many people who have needs, who have desires, who need to come up, who need to be comforted, who need to find strength in the Lord. My God, I have to pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, pray with me. Pray for me. Lift me up, God, in my spirit so that I can call out to you on my brother's behalf, on my sister's behalf, on my children's behalf. Thank you, Lord. And then I have to realize within myself that I'm releasing it. I let it go. And now guess what? I have to recognize that it's already gone. We have to pray and trust the Holy Spirit to know what to do for us. We have to pray and trust the Holy Spirit is able to rebuild what has been torn down. We have to pray and trust that the Holy Spirit will rebuild relationships through God, in God, with God, by God only. We have to pray and trust the Holy Spirit that even when we begin in our flesh, remember that flesh, we can't allow it to govern our mind because the mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. And it wants you to be that way. It wants you to deal with that. You know why? My God, because it wants to hinder you. Always think of your mind as the battlefield of spiritual warfare. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't ever let your guard down with the enemy. I'm talking about Satan, the devil, slew-footed demon, seeking whom he can devour. But understand that he uses people, those right in our back door, those at our front door, those sitting with us, those shaking our hands. He can use. We have to be strong. So when you feel a little weak in your spirit, you might feel that it's too much. You might feel that you're ready to give up or give out. You might feel that you can't take anymore. You got to look yourself in the face and be, oh God, declare and decree. Speak to the atmosphere to God before me. Who can be against me? You got to declare and decree that nothing will separate you from the love of God. You got to declare and decree that it's gone. It's behind me. It's no longer a part of me. Thank you, Lord. It's been released. Remind yourself, oh, I let that go. Somebody come on, say, oh, I already let that go. When the enemy tries to bring it up, oh, I already let that go. Whoever he's using to bring it up, oh, baby, that's okay. I let that go. You remember when she, no, I've already let that go. You remember when you, no, I already let that go. And the enemy will look you in your face. Square foot, flat footed, and will cause you to have to look him in his face when he brings that thing up. And sometimes he brings up that thing which he has done straight forward himself. And you've got to stand flat footed, bold, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and covered by the Father, and look him in his face and say, oh, I already let that go. It's already gone. It doesn't live here anymore. It's not a part of me anymore. God has already released me and taken that thing. We're almost done this morning. We just needed to remind you that we were seeking release. We have already found it. The devil keeps trying to bring it up. It's already gone. Remember this, as Paul knew, that the Holy Spirit can and will do what the Holy Spirit does. Judges 3:10. I'm just going to give you some scriptures to write down. The Spirit of the Lord came on him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. Luke 24:45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. John 3:6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. John 3:8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from. Neither can you tell where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. It's gone. That thing that was not of the Spirit, it's gone. That thing of the flesh, it's gone. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Speak that is gone. It's no longer a part of me. The hatred I had for you, it's gone. The envy I had for my sister, it's gone. It's no longer a part of me. Oh my gosh. The feelings I had of not being sufficient, it's gone. That thing that had me bound, my flesh, that caused me not to be elevated in God, it's gone. That thing that hindered me from the blessings of the Lord, it's gone. Somebody come on and tell me, it's gone. It's left this morning. And we're going to go back to Paul as we close. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Come on, say it with me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, I'm going to be his sister this morning. I'm not going to worry about where I am right now. I'm looking ahead to what God has for me. I'm forgetting those things that go, oh my God, got me where I am right now. And whatever got me where I am right now, it's gone, my God. Whatever got me where I am right now, oh God, it's not messing with me. It's gone. Whatever my flesh got me into before, oh, it's gone. Whatever, oh God, hiccups and hangups I had about whatever, it's gone. Oh my Lord, I'm not seeking my release now. I found my release. That thing that was a thorn in my flesh, it's gone. To God be the glory for the things that he has done this morning. And I declare and decree, I'm going to continue to speak to the atmosphere. Things, if you want to be worried with anxiety, if you want to leave out, go out funny because you don't understand how to just back up from it, I'm here to declare and decree for you. It's gone. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit, that thing that had you bound, don't count yourself apprehended this morning. Don't let it hold you down. Don't let it hold you back. Be able to go forth. We done sought the release. My God, it's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This morning, we've sought the release, God. We've let it go. We've sought the release, God. And this morning, it's gone. Anything and everything. Your father walked off and left you. Your mother didn't treat you right. Your family members shortchanged you. That friend that you thought was the best friend you could ever have wasn't the best friend you could ever have. Let it go. It's gone. That promotion you didn't get on that job, God evidently didn't mean for you to get it. It's gone. But Paul says, I will not count myself apprehended. Not worrying about the things behind me. I'm looking towards the things that are before me. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus this morning. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. Amen. Come on, give God a praise wherever you are this morning. Oh, can I get some waved hands out there? Thank you, Lord. Can I get some reactions that let me know that you're in the number this morning, that you believe that it's gone this morning? Come on, let us pray. Father, we thank you now for your word this morning. We give you glory for your people, oh God, everywhere, oh God. And we ask you now, Father, to reach out and touch. Reach out and touch. Reach out and touch us, God, where we need to be touched, God. Continue, God, to release us from the things that have had us bound. Oh God, release us continually, oh Lord, so they might not creep back in. Remind us, oh God, from day to day that those things that are behind us are gone, God, never to return, oh Lord. Whatever happened yesterday, we cannot bring back to today, oh God. But we can live, oh God, for today and hope for tomorrow. We ask you now, Father, to give us peace this week, God. Go with us throughout this day, Lord. And oh God, as we complete this meeting time, but we never leave from your presence, we ask you, Lord, to hold, oh God, hold us, oh God, and keep us as only you can. Come on, somebody, say amen, amen, and amen this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh God, we love him this morning. Thank you, Lord. We love him this morning. We declare and decree. before God, the church, and mankind. You can declare this with us this morning. We're declaring on your behalf. I'm letting go and letting God lead. I'm letting go of things and trusting God with all things. I'm learning how to let go and let God. How to let go and trust God. How to let go and receive all that God has for me. I'm walking into the newness of life as I embark upon the plans that I know, he says, he knows, he has for me. I'm becoming more and more selfless and less selfish because God has allowed me to let it go. And now it's gone. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This morning, we thank you for joining us this morning. And again, we want to say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, our sons, our brothers. Happy Father's Day to our cousins, our nephews. Happy Father's Day to our listeners, our parishioners, our members. We want to say happy Father's Day to all of our covenant partners. We want to say just happy Father's Day to all. And we celebrate fathers today because of the Father. And we just appreciate God for everything. We want to remind you this morning, Rhema, that we live in excellence and we walk in expectation. We want you to tune in next week. We're going to begin to reincorporate our mission and our vision because we don't want you to forget the mission and vision that God has set for us. To set, oh my God, or foster an atmosphere of true worship, to reap souls for Christ, and to empower you, the people of God, to live in excellence through outreach, teaching, and fellowship. This is the mission that God has given us and our vision to live each day in excellence through Jesus Christ, that we walk in expectation of the salvation of the Almighty God. Amen. At this time, it's giving time. Amen. We want you to be able to bless so that you can be blessed. Amen. To give according to how God has blessed you to be a blessing. We ask that you be led this morning and share with us so that our ministry can continue to be a blessing in the community. Amen. Go to Rhema's website, RhemaCFChurch.com, and click on the donating button. Amen. Go to RhemaCFChurch.com and check us out. Amen. To God be the glory. Have a blessed, blessed week. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed by the life-changing word from Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry. Rhema is located at 2106 Bonavella Avenue, Savannah, Georgia, 31406. Join us for worship services at 9:45 each Sunday morning.